Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
In 1996, the 104th Congress overwhelmingly passed the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, and Bill Clinton signed it into law. Now, those numbers were 342 House members voted for the Federal Defense of Marriage Act and 85 senators also, so it was definitely overwhelming. Now, fast forward about 10 years, and homosexual activists began pushing harder to get so-called same-sex marriage legalized, yet the attempts to get a federal marriage protection amendment passed flounder. Fast forward yet another few years, and the United States Supreme Court declares Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional. And that happened, of course, on June 26th of this year. So, where do we go from here? My guest today is Robert Knight. He is with the American Civil Rights Union, and we appreciate your time with us today, Bob.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Diane.
Give us a little bit of information about the American Civil Rights Union, and what do you do there?
Okay, I'm a senior fellow for the ACRU. Which was formed to, among other things, combat the ACLU,
okay,
which is much better known and up to mischief all over the country, trying to eradicate religion from America in the name of tolerance.
Yeah.
The ACRU files briefs and courts and basically protects the civil rights that are embodied in our Constitution, not the phony ones that are made up every other day by the ACLU. We filed 11 briefs, or 10 briefs, actually, we filed 9. We're about to file our 10th, if the Liberty case goes forward, on Obamacare, charging that it's unconstitutional. We filed in major gun cases, lots of freedom of religion cases, and we filed in every case involving the Boy Scouts of America.
Wow.
And won all those cases. That's why they had no business doing what they did.
I know, but, you know, political correctness going awry. I mean, we see that more and more every day, and it's increasing, seems like, with the political...
Well, it's also veering into the absurd. The Boy Scouts just announced they're not going to allow overweight boys at their jamboree. They'll allow boys who are openly homosexual, but not kids who will put on some weight.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not joking.
Oh,
I wish I were.
But that
shows that where their values are now.
Yeah, I also read one of the papers here in Pennsylvania that they're also going to have Girl Scouts in as part of the Jamboree this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, partnering with the Girl Scouts, yeah. I mean, you know, once they've gone off the deep end, they just keep going deeper and deeper off the deep end. So they're not going to let overweight boys be part of the Jamboree this year.
That's right. The next target will be God and the Scout Oath.
Oh, yes.
The atheist groups have already beaten their drums, saying that now you've gotten rid of morally straight, we're going to get rid of God.
Right. Well, yeah, I think probably my guess before that, before God is banned from the Boy Scouts, I think they will allow open homosexual leaders prior to that.
Oh, sure.
That's the next step. But anyway.
Next.
It's all part of the...
Doesn't matter what happened to the Catholic Church.
Yeah, we'll just ignore that and just pretend it didn't happen.
Or Penn State.
Penn State, yeah. We'll just pretend that never happened, and we'll just forget about the details of that, so the Boy Scouts can pretend everything can be hunky-dory. But now you played a role in the Federal Marriage Protection Amendment, in DOMA, since we don't have a Federal Marriage Protection Amendment, but you played a role in DOMA. What was your role in DOMA?
Well, we got it off the ground. I was at Family Research Council at the time. And we said that, you know, we need a federal law to protect the states from being forced to violate their own policies and adopt same-sex marriage. And this came in response to what Hawaii was doing.
Okay.
And we also need to define marriage for all federal purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So we drafted the first draft of DOMA at Family Research Council and then worked with congressional staff. And they, of course, put in all the legal details. And then we worked to help get it passed at the federal level, and then worked with groups that were passing state-level constitutional amendments, of which there have been 31.
Right, Pennsylvania is one of those. We passed ours in 96,
That's right. A lot of states quickly put laws in the books. And, you know, I'm always amused, Diane, when I see headlines, even in conservative publications, talking about marriage laws as gay bans or gay marriage bans.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're defining something by its negative rather than what the positive.
Right.
And that's one of the tactics the other side uses. They cast something that's good and wholesome as something negative, and yet other people just mindlessly buy into that.
Right.
The gay ban overturned, you know.
I
thinking,
know.
No, the marriage law was overturned.
The marriage law was overturned. Yeah, and that leads right into my next question, which my next question was, did you ever, it's two parts. Did you ever think that we would reach the day when a portion of the Defense of Marriage Act would be declared unconstitutional?
I did not. I thought that it's a sound law. It's constitutionally sound. I thought they might go after the full faith and credit clause aspects. Now, that full faith and credit clause of the Constitution says that the states must honor each other's licenses, but it does say Congress can set the terms for that. And in this case, it just said states aren't forced to adopt something that goes against their own policies,
mm-hmm.
and that seemed reasonable to everybody.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would overturn the definition of marriage.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
That's
the core of
mm-hmm.
DOMA defines marriage as the union of a man and a woman. They said, well, that's discriminatory, and it's based only on hate, only on animus against homosexuals.
Yeah,
there's no other purpose for having it in the law like
that. Yeah, according to Justice Kennedy, because that's what he actually wrote in his opinion. Yeah, I know Don Wyman. Yeah, I know Don Wyman was concerned about the full faith and credit clause when the big pushes were beginning to try to get a federal Defense of Marriage Act, rather a federal marriage protection
amendment.
But
we sure need it now. I think you'll see a renewed effort to pass a federal marriage amendment.
Absolutely, we do need
it. But you know, the people of California did it.
They went through all the hoops.
They did everything right. And then the court struck it down.
The same day. I know, and the courts are saying, well, the state should have a right to make their own decision about marriage, and then California didn't make that decision, and as you're saying, they just struck it down. And they use the same type of tactic or terminology in that California voters passed that amendment because they hated homosexuals, and that's not the case. They just want to protect marriage for what it historically has been, and that's between a man and a woman.
Yeah, I think the way to bring up how absurd this whole thing is to realize that the homosexual movement didn't even come into being until the 1970s.
Yeah.
And before that, marriage was understood worldwide for hundreds of generations as the union of male and female.
Yeah.
In most places, union of one man and one woman. And yet we have judges at every level saying the only reason for marriage law is to annoy homosexuals and make them feel excluded.
Make them feel like second-class citizens. It's
unbelievable
It's a rewriting of history. They're revising history to play into the playbook, basically. What do you think, when you look at the homosexual actors and how they've been successful, and as you just mentioned, and how they've, even judges are using their terminology, what do you think, what tactic do you think was the most successfully used by homosexual activists to get to this point?
There's no question the tactic of proclaiming that people are born gay and can't change was the single greatest influence on this movement, because people thought, if it's like skin color, you can't change, then it's not fair to ask people to modify their behavior.
Yeah.
There's no evidence showing that people are born gay. The genetic studies are junk science. None of them has been replicated. Several have been refuted. People have changed by the thousands. That gives the lie to the idea that you can't change. What they've done is take one aspect of sexuality, an aberrant form of it, and said that it's the norm for some people. And in doing that, they then invoked the civil rights laws and made it seem as if it was blacks marching in Selma again. And it's anything but.
That's for sure.
But I think the lies based on junk science fueled this movement. And the other thing that fueled it was Saul Alinsky-type tactics.
Oh, for sure.
Now, Saul Alinsky wrote the book Rules for Radicals,
mm-hmm.
and he was a Marxist community organizer who, not incidentally, was a mentor for Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was the ultimate community organizer. And basically, he gave a Marxist view of tactics, which is do whatever you have to do to win.
To get what you want.
And one of the most prominent of those tactics was to personalize and polarize and expose, meaning you don't let people talk about facts and issues and rational discussion, you make someone the issue. In their case, they made certain people victims and other people hateful adversaries, and they just played those cards over and over. And until the impression reached even the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah. So as we're looking at the, whatever fallout there may be from, I mean, when we look at it, we know that the Supreme Court decision was a travesty. But the media really hasn't covered it that much. And when they do, like you're saying, they're describing it as, well, the ban on gay marriage has been declared unconstitutional. But that was never the intention of the Defense of Marriage Act, but
no, it's never. Well, it was one of the intentions was to preserve marriage.
Well, true,
and not
right.
Have counterfeits created.
Right. But it did not say we ban same-sex marriage. That's not what the law said. It was to define marriage as it was to be recognized by the federal government.
That's right, and of course it bars multiple partner marriage
right.
too.
True.
So it just as much was about hating polygamists, I suppose, and hating people who commit incest.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have a long list of people not qualified to marry,
right?
Say it's all based on hate.
Well, according to Justice Kennedy, that's exactly what he was saying, because that's why what he accused the 104th Congress of. He said they passed that law, and obviously Bill Clinton also signed that law because they hated homosexuals.
And they're echoing what Judge Vaughn Walker, an open homosexual himself, who struck down California's Prop 8,
yeah, and that's what I'll start
said.
Mm-hmm.
He could not find a single reason other than animus for establishing marriage in the law. It's just breathtaking logic.
Well, as you're saying, the using this Solilinsky tactics, they refuse to allow statistics. They refuse to allow the facts to be presented. They're depending on feelings more than anything.
Well, they are, and they're also calling on flawed science.
Yeah.
A lot of this grew out of the Lawrence v. Texas case from 2003, in which Anthony Kennedy, wrote the majority opinion, and he cited foreign journals, foreign laws, and junk science that can be traced back to the old discredited Alfred Kinsey studies about human sexuality.
So what he used can be traced back to Kinsey.
Because he cited the Crittenden Report, and that relied heavily on Alfred Kinsey's junk science. And it purported to show that homosexuality is normal and far more prevalent than we imagined. It might
even though a recent was Williams Institute and Gallup poll, they did an extensive poll for with the Williams Institute, which, of course, is a homosexual think tank connected with, I don't know if it's Berkeley. I can't remember. It's out of California. I can't remember connected with which university. But anyway, that extensive, over 120,000 people were called, I believe. And the result of that was like 4% of the population identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender.
And that's a high mark.
Let's ignore that.
All the other surveys show less than 2%.
Yeah.
Certainly as far as identifying, going to that extent. I mean, you might find more evidence, indication of actual behavior. You know, people try it out.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently some of these women's colleges are rife with it, and they have the term lesbian until graduation.
In other words, they
goof around with it, and then they say, well, that's enough of that. I'm going to get married and have a family. But you'd count them among the gay population, even though they're not.
Okay.
And
individuals like that would be very likely would be someone who would not oppose the legalization of same-sex marriage because they've been desensitized to the idea of homosexuality.
And that's been another key to their success. They keep
in the education.
And that was part of the after the ball strategy. That's a book written by two Harvard PR experts on how to turn America around and make it accept homosexuality. They had very specific tactics, and a lot of them were based on vilifying opponents. By juxtaposing images, such as Ku Klux Klansmen marching and then showing a pastor talking against homosexuality, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And also
called bracketing.
And also to use the media to normalize homosexuality or to desensitize Americans to the concept of homosexuality, to divert their attention away from the homosexual act and to the individual and like you're saying, personalize it and play the victim card with, you know, the homosexuals or victims. So now that we have a situation where the federal, Section 3 of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act has been struck down, we know that states that have, 31 states that have passed either marriage laws or marriage protection amendments will see those laws or amendments challenged. I mean, here in Pennsylvania...
Well, actually, yeah, more than 40 states have strengthened their marriage laws, and a couple of them fell in referenda this last time around. And, of course, California's amendment went down.
Yeah.
So, but there's still 30 states with solid constitutional amendments,
right,
and probably another five or six states with very solid marriage laws. And, yeah, they're going to be challenged. They've already announced it in Pennsylvania, I guess.
Yeah, right. And our attorney general says she will not defend it.
Yeah, another Democrat says, what, laws? Who cares? I'll do whatever I want.
Do whatever I want to do.
It's a spirit of lawlessness that has descended on the country.
That is a good way to describe it. And there's no one, it seems to me, that no one has enough courage to step forward. And because the Constitution does give Congress a means to get rid of...
Yep, impeachment.
To get rid of maybe... leave the wrong connotation, but yeah, to impeach judges. So what is it that a judge has to do to get to the point where he will be impeached, where impeachment proceedings will begin?
Well, often the judges don't have to face as high a bar as the President of the United States. It has to be high crimes and misdemeanors. Often state statutes regarding judges, you can remove them for any reason you want. Some states require that there be actual crimes committed by the judge, but often, if the people are unhappy and think the judge isn't doing his job, they do have a way to do it through their public officials. It's just whether they do it or not.
Right.
The problem is majority of lawmakers are lawyers, and they want to be judges someday, some of them,
okay,
and they want to practice before judges someday, so they're compromised.
Yeah.
And that's why this very constitutional balance instrument is never used, because we have so many lawyers in public office. I'm not saying that, you know, they're all bad. There's some excellent people who are public officials.
Right.
But overall, I think there's a conflict of interest here when it comes to removing judges.
Well, there's no doubt about that, because increasingly people are scratching their heads and saying, well, how can this judge do this? And I know in Iowa, they voted not to retain some of those judges who legalized same-sex marriage in Iowa. And, of course, on the state level, we can do that here in Pennsylvania, too. We have our judges from all levels, on all levels, are voted in by the people, although there's an effort to change that with the merit selection, you know, where the governor would choose the judge to be confirmed by the Senate, the state Senate. But, you know, but we still have Justice Kennedy, and we still have the other four who went along with him in making this decision, tossing out Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act. And now we have, you know, now Congress has realized we have to rewrite so many of these laws that deal with marriage, federal laws that deal with marriage, because I would read an article where they're going to have to rewrite hundreds of laws to comply with the decision that the Supreme Court made on the 26th.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to get rid of the terms husband and wife.
Yeah.
They're going to have to make it seem as if there is no such thing anymore.
Such thing.
It's just partners.
Gender neutral.
That's what they did in Massachusetts under Mitt Romney.
Wow.
Before he even had to, he ordered the state to issue marriage licenses with partner A and partner B.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't realize that he had no obligation to do it. Massachusetts law explicitly says only the legislature can change marriage law. Not the courts, not the governor, only the legislature. The legislature had not acted because they were considering a marriage amendment at the time. Both sides were clashing and nothing was accomplished in the legislature. So no matter what the court said, the law was still in the books. So Romney had no business basically creating gay marriage, saying the court made him do it.
Well, because most people don't understand the details, they don't know the details, and that's all swept under the rug so that he can use that excuse to get away from being blamed for it.
Well, often the public officials hide behind the courts. They blame the courts, and they're secretly glad the courts make these make these rulings, because they say, oh, well, my hands are tied, you know. Oh, boy, those terrible courts, look what they're doing. But then they don't exercise the power to rein in the out-of-control courts.
Yeah, that's what they could do.
That's where we need to challenge them.
That's for sure. Yeah. And
but right now, people ought to be rallying in Pennsylvania and other places to defend the marriage law.
Yeah, they should be.
One of the main tactics of the left, Diane, and this is on all issues, not just this one, is to create the air of inevitability, that it's useless to resist.
Yeah.
The Democratic left operates like Tokyo Rose, that radio broadcaster who tried to demoralize our troops in the South Pacific by saying, gee, I give up, you know, there's
you're
no hope.
You're not going to win. Actually,
you're not going to win, and meanwhile, someone's back home with your girl or your wife.
Demoralize. That's for sure. I was interviewed recently by a very liberal newspaper out of Philadelphia, of all places, and he asked me whether I believe that same-sex marriage was inevitable. I said, no. I said, the only things that are inevitable are death and taxes. And he kind of giggled. But I totally agree with you, because they're coming out. It was interesting, as the time for the Supreme Court to hand down their decision drew nearer and nearer, all these polls came out saying that the majority of Americans support so-called same-sex marriage, and you know, we know it's going to happen because the polling shows that Americans are changing their views on same-sex marriage. And yeah, you're perfect. You're absolutely right when you say that they use those numbers and they use that tactic to make it appear inevitable that same-sex so-called marriage is going to happen. But
it was a self-fulfilling prophecy, and I've never seen so many polls issued on a single topic.
Yeah.
In so many days, right up before a momentous court decision. It was definitely designed to shift public opinion.
Absolutely.
And to scare the judges. Oh, you'd be out of step if you uphold marriage.
Yeah. And the same thing here. In Pennsylvania, as we saw, the ACLU challenging that, representing, I believe, 23 homosexuals across the state. And the papers really haven't said a whole lot about that. I mean, they've made the announcement, you know, a few days after that, and of course the fact that Attorney General Kathleen Kane will not defend the law, but
no, she ought to be impeached.
She should be.
Yeah, she's not doing her job.
I know, and she's not even been in office a year. She just took her oath of office in January. I mean, she's just brand spanking new. But they never talk about the ramifications if our Marriage Protection Amendment. Rather, if our DOMA is declared unconstitutional, what that would mean. They never talk about that because the media, by and large, is on the homosexual activist side. Now, we do have H.J. Res 51 was introduced on July 8th, and that is to get a federal marriage protection amendment started. So the process has started to get a federal marriage protection amendment, and Congressman Tim Hillscamp, out of Kansas, has introduced that.
Mm-hmm.
So the effort, Congress has started the effort to get that started. Now, explain to us what the steps have to go through. Is it like a typical law? It has to pass the House, pass the Senate, and then how?
You could do it two ways.
Okay.
You could convene constitutional conventions in three-quarters of the states and get it done, or you can have it passed first by Congress and I believe it has to be by two-thirds majorities, and then it goes to the states, and you have to get at least 35 states or 36 states.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 35 or 36 states. So it's a high bar to jump over. But if people want it, you know, it can happen.
Yeah.
And right now that looks like the best shot for, aside from defending state statutes and amendments, going after a federal marriage amendment.
Yeah, it's going to be a multi-pronged attack. And at this point, or at the time it was introduced, two of our 18 congressmen had signed on, and those were Congressman Joe Pitts and Congressman Bill Schuster. Two of the Pennsylvania congressmen had signed on at the time the bill was introduced, the first part of July. So
should be a great campaign issue.
I would think so.
Yeah,
definitely.
If the if they're smart enough to see that this could be very popular.
Yeah.
Regardless of the polls.
Yeah, let's just ignore
what
the
people
poll.
Do in the voting booth is quite different from what they tell pollsters.
For sure,
usually.
For sure. Yeah. How can folks contact you if they wanted to get a hold of you?
Okay, the best way is to, well, first, our website is theacru.org.
Okay.
Theacru.org. And there should be a way to, a contact information
okay.
bar
right
on there.
There. Okay.
I also write for the Washington Times and Town Hall.
Yeah.
And if you can send messages through Town Hall as well.
Okay. Yeah, in fact, your July 1st Washington Post, your July 1st Washington Times, your July 1st Washington Times article was entitled Black Robed Hate Group after, the high end.
I was pretty angry with them, I thought I ought to let them have it.
That's good. They need to.
What's more hateful than falsely accusing someone of hatred in today's climate?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's a hateful act to fall. It's defamation, and they've defamed the American people. They've defamed Congress for passing the Defense of Marriage Act.
Yeah.
They defamed all the states. In fact, they've defamed all previous generations.
True.
Who thought, gee, marriage is the union of a male and female, man and a woman.
Absolutely. So they need to be pushed back on their decision from the 26th. Okay, I'm going to let you go so folks can go to theacru.org and can contact you through that or through the Washington Times, your articles there. Appreciate it, and you keep up the good work, and I really enjoy your articles on the Times and all the work that you do. So you take
okay, care. Thank you so much, Diane.
Okay.
God bless you for what you're doing.
Okay, God bless you too. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.